The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning. That pretty much sums up the life of Chael Sonnen, UFC middleweight contender right now, after the news broke of Mr. Sonnen getting caught from the California State Athletic Commission. The normally loud Chael Sonnen has been eerily quiet over the past week. Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590. Once again, in studio, Tyler the Intern Mason. Tyler, that's a pretty crazy story we've been dealing with for the past week.
Yeah, it blew up just the other day, and it was shocking to me, especially after the comments he had for the whole Lance Armstrong thing, saying that Lance Armstrong got cancer from steroids, and then this comes out that he, I don't know, like... It was shocking to me. I don't know how you reacted. How did you react?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the word is liberal, conservative, what it is, but when I hear stuff like that, I don't automatically accuse. I don't automatically point fingers. This is a commission that has a track record of not being the greatest commission out there. You saw what they did with Sean Sherk. They do test, obviously, because they seem to be the commission that finds a lot of these fighters that are on steroids or are using performance-enhancing drugs. So I wanted to hear Chael Sonnen's side, and I tried valiantly all week since the news broke last Sunday, ironically, on my birthday, where I was supposed to, you know the story very well, I was supposed to sit back, relax, and enjoy a day off, and instead I woke up to the news that senior producer Bob Torrens informed me, good morning, happy birthday, Chael Sonnen just got pinched with steroids or just got nailed with something. You may want to look into this. So spent the whole day Sunday trying to figure out what was going on, and I tried valiantly to get a hold of Chael Sonnen, his management, getting some comments from the UFC, and it was just quiet. It's been quiet, quiet, quiet. Chael Sonnen was supposed to be on a national television sports station down in the States. As we speak right now, it was announced that he was going to do it. And unfortunately, he's decided to back out again. Hence the reasoning why I said, you know, he's got the right to remain silent, because the normally loud, brash, very bravado-ish Chael Sonnen is aptly quiet right now, because he knows anything he says, does anything about it, could get him in a lot of hot water until that hearing happens with the California State Athletic Commission, which I believe is in the first week of December. Ironically enough, Josh Barnett will be there as well. So it's a huge, huge thing that's going to be happening there in California. I don't point fingers. I want to know what the deal was, what the performance-enhancing drug was. He took it. Why did he take it? What kind of drug was it? Was it something that actually was prescribed? He did say he did inform George Dodd, the California State Athletic Commissioner, that during the pre-fight medical, he said, I might fail a performance. Don't quote me on this. I'm just saying that, you know, paraphrasing, I might fail any test that, you know, where you're looking for performance-enhancing drugs. That right there throws up flags. Now, you and I talked beforehand about, well, why would they let him continue fighting? At the same time, we, you know, obviously doing a bit of research, you can't stop a guy from fighting without any proof, even though he said, I might fail, unless you've got proof. And it takes time for the test results to come back. So even if they tested him on the spot, they're not going to get those results back for a week or two.
Yeah, and the quote from the LA Times article is the one that broke it. I believe Chael Sonnen said, I took something that might make me test positive. So we don't exactly know what that something is. What's unusual about this case, you see a lot of fighters come out.
No, actually, it was Sherdog that broke the news, and Josh Gross from Sports Illustrated that said he was told that Sonnen said this to George Dodd. LA Times had the, Lance Pugmire had the great article about it being a steroid.
The testosterone thing.
Testosterone, yes. Elevated levels of testosterone, correct.
But what's interesting about this case is you're seeing a lot of fighters come out in defense of PEDs or the chances that it might not be a performance-enhancing drug. Nate Marquardt came out and said, you know, it could be a false positive because he's had a past with that kind of issue. But it looks like Chael Sonnen's going to take the Shane Carwin route. I'm sure lawyers or possibly people in his camp are telling him to stay quiet because you don't want to say any of the wrong things. And that's probably why he's not appearing on the national televised sports channel there. Because, you know, sometimes the best strategy is just to keep your mouth shut because you want to really kind of assess. There's lots of money at stake. He's got a full year suspension now. You got to really kind of put your cards, keep them close to your chest so you can figure out what the appeal process is because, you know, his career's on the line. So, I mean, he's got to go through all those kind of obstacles first.
I mean, some of the options that are out there when the news, I mean, again, people are talking now, why, you know, what can the UFC do to help the situation? Remember, the athletic commissions are the ones that do the testing. It's not necessarily the UFC, although they do testing where in jurisdictions where there is no athletic commission, for example, overseas. You and I talked about that, a bunch of us over here at the Fan 590 and, of course, over at Sportsnet, we're discussing, you know, should the UFC do more? Can they do more? I mean, I don't necessarily agree that they should do any more testing because it's up to the commission to do the testing, even though we pretty much know that the commissions themselves, the testing that they do, isn't going to catch some of the stuff that's out there. You know, your HGHs and stuff like that. I mean, they're doing urine tests. They're not really doing blood tests. So you're not going to really catch. And we all know that the athletes are usually further ahead in terms of what they have or what they're taking versus what the commission is testing. So I put it out there. I put it on vote for you know, on showdown.ca to say, hey, you know, what should the UFC do with Chael Sonnen now that he's tested positive for a PED? The options were nothing. Just let him serve his suspension, which will likely be a year. And if he does get a good appeal, he might get 6 months. Fine him. The UFC should fine him in addition to whatever the California State Athletic Commission fined him, which is about $2,500. Cut him from their roster was another option. And, of course, ban him to the undercard for one fight, make him pay that way, or something else. The majority of people, 56% on showdown.ca, said that they would do nothing. Just let him serve a suspension. Some of them said fine him at 16%. Only 14% said cut him from their roster, which is sort of surprising. And, of course, ban him to the undercard for one fight was at 9%, other at 5%. What would you do if you're the UFC?
No, I don't think the UFC should do anything. It's not their job. Their job is to promote the fights, take care of business, and make sure everything's a go-ahead from that standpoint. And, you know, like most of those people voting on your site can see, you know, is that it's the commission's job to catch these people. I do think that the commissions need to do more. I think they should be not only doing urine tests, which they already do, but also blood tests. But
that's very expensive, and that's where the issue comes around, is that it's the expenses, it's the money involved to try and get these tests. I'm not trying to stick up for the commission. I'm going to play devil's advocate throughout this story to give everyone as much information and different sides of the story.
Well, the thing is, I think they should do more because right now drug users and athletes are always going to be ahead of the people trying to test for them. If you look at a sport like cycling, which historically is the most drugged up sport there is, you know, they went really hard on them a couple years back. And a guy who got caught, he said, you know what, I've had 150 races. I've been caught twice in 10 years. The athletes are always going to be ahead when it comes to steroids and PEDs. That's just the way it is. So you need to be extra vigilant when you're going after these guys. That's why the commission, if they're going to take that job, they're going to have to put that money into it. Otherwise, it's going to run rampant in this sport. And, you know, until the government says it's the UFC's job to do that, they don't need to do it. They don't need to spend the money.
Now, the UFC is different than any other sport out there. I mean, it's regulated, quote unquote, by the government. You look at the NFL, the NHL, the Major League Baseball. They've got the commissioners, they've got the boards, and they've got players associations to deal with as well. But they're the ones that come down with the hammer, be it a velvet hammer or a hard hammer. The issue that I'm trying to figure out here is, should the UFC do more? You're saying they really can't do much or they shouldn't do much. But at the same time, can you make a statement? Does the UFC, Dana White, Joe Silva, or anyone, should they publicly come out and say, you know what, our sport, our organization, we don't want any cheaters. We don't want guys taking performance-enhancing drugs. If you are caught, you will be cut. Now, what does that mean? Sure, you cut a guy like Chael Sonnen, he's going to get scooped up right away by the likes of Strikeforce and Bellator, heck, even Dream, you know, organizations of that nature. Do you set an example by a Chael Sonnen? Because if you don't, then it's just going to keep happening. So, because the argument you can make, and I read a great article by Josh Gross in Sports Illustrated again, he does bring up a pretty valid point where it's like, if you don't set that bar, you don't make an example of someone, then guys are going to continue doing it. I speak to fighters on a very, very regular basis, all the time, and I hear it all the time. Performance-enhancing in drugs are pretty rampant in mixed martial arts. Now, it's not as big as some of the numbers that guys are saying out there where it's 50 to 60%. It's a little bit less, but what I'm told is, yes, guys are doing it, and they understand what it takes for them to you know, do what they got to do in training, and then by the time they get tested by the commission, It's not in their system anymore. So the athletes, the different people around the athletes, they know what it takes. But the issue is this. If you are caught with a performance-enhancing drug, because you've got a lot of kids that are looking up to these fighters, should you not make an example of these fighters and say, you know what, you're gone? Or is the worry that it's so rampant in mixed martial arts that, you know, so many guys are doing it that if you do get caught, you're going to have no one left on your roster?
Well, I think it's always going to be a problem in a sport where you have 3 months in between times you compete. I mean, they have times to cycle on and off these drugs, times for it to get out of their system before they test. So I think it's always going to be a problem in MMA, but I think that's why the commission has to be, you know, so hard on it and they have to be so ahead of the game. But I think this stems from kind of the overall unorganization of MMA as a whole. I mean, I think the UFC is very organized as a promotion, them themselves is kind of an individual group, but as MMA as a whole, it's very unorganized right now. I mean, it's going to take time.
It's a young sport. It's a newer sport. It's going to take some time to evolve, right?
But I think, you know, when we see like a union come out, maybe if that ever happens, then you can get different groups like a union, the commission, and the UFC, other promotions, all working together to get a third party to test these fighters. So then it's an even playing field for everyone. Which if you were a fighter and you're part of a
Isn't
union,
the athletic
like that,
commission though a third party?
It is, but it's run by the government, right? So they
should be the gold standard.
Which they have limited budgets, right? Yep. Especially in the economic times that the states are going through right now.
Correct.
So when you have, like, if you had a fighters union that was contributing to this as well, and you were part of a union, you know, you would want your fellow athletes to be in the same playing field as you. So it would be in your interest to contribute to that sort of thing. So, I mean, I think once the sport becomes more organized, we're going to see more of these guys get caught and more punishments being put down. Right now, because of the way the sport is, I don't think anything's going to change, and I think it really depends on the commissions to up their testing, but it's going to depend on their budgets, really.
I want to know what you think, as does Tyler, so give us a call here. Should the UFC do nothing and let him serve his suspension, or any athlete in general moving forward that gets caught with performance-enhancing drugs? Should they fine him in addition to whatever a commission would fine him? Should they cut Chael Sonnen from their roster or any other fighter? Should they ban him to the undercard for one fight, or should they do something else? Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone. We'll also be talking a little bit about UFC 119. That's a big show happening this weekend here, as well as my engagement with taking another course back to school for Showdown Joe. I'm taking Big John McCarthy's judging course this weekend. If you haven't signed up, you better hurry up. It's taking place at the Sheridan at Terminal 3 at Pearson International Airport. The athletic commissioner, Ken Hayashi, is apparently going to be there. So if you want to get on his good radar, if you want to be involved in the sport of mixed martial arts from a government perspective as an inspector, a judge, or referee, this is a great time for you to get involved. It's $500 for the course. Let's just get it out there. It's not the cheapest course to take, but the analogy I gave last week and that I've been giving in various interviews, and people are saying it's too expensive. You can go to the ministry and take, for example, like I got my motorcycle license. You can go out and get your motorcycle license and test for it, but if you don't know the laws and what's required, how to ride a bike safely, it's probably best advised to take a course. And when you take a course, you know, it's going to cost you money, from $300 to $500. So you want to get involved in mixed martial arts, reffing and judging and items of that nature, you know, pony up the cash. Let's just put it that way.
I think it's a good idea to have it $500. Then it keeps all the people who are not serious about it out of there. If I was running a promotion, or if I had a fighter fighting in a promotion, or I was a coach or whatever, spectator, I want only the guys who are extremely serious about judging MMA, the really hardcore people out there. So, I mean, I think the $500 will keep all the wannabes away from, you know, this great course that Big John's putting on. So I think it's a good thing.
I had a fight school owner on the west side or east side give me a call regarding the course and items of that nature, whether it was worth it for him or not, and just people in general. And I think he made the best comment. He's like, if you can't put together $500 to take this course, you've got other problems to deal with. So that's one of those things. And I'm not saying that everyone can afford it. It is hard times right now. But listen, this is what it costs. You pass the course, and it's not an easy course to pass, believe you me, for the reffing one. We'll see about the judging one. But it is something that you may want to consider. We're going to take your calls after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Once again, Co-host in studio today, Tyler the Intern Mason. Behind the glass, Joe, Giuseppe Sicilia. And I'm looking here, Joe, at the standings for Serie A. Your beloved Juventus, my former Juventus, are in 15th place, I might add. And my new favorite team, Parma, because of my boy Sebastian Giovinco, who better make the national team, they're in 10th place right now. So, hey, we'll have some stuff to discuss after the show. And, of course, taking your calls, Joel McFadden, the producer for my show, is going to keep me in line and making sure that you guys come on the air and get your thoughts out there. We're talking about Chael Sonnen, and what should the UFC do about Chael Sonnen? If you went over to showdown.ca, I have a little poll out there with a couple of options. I'd like to get your, not only your votes on there, but at the same time to get your thoughts. What should the UFC do about Chael Sonnen or any fighter in general that tests positive for performance-enhancing drugs? Nothing. Just let them serve their suspension. Fine them in addition to whatever the commission are going to do. Cut them from the roster. Ban them to the undercard for one fight or something else. Give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone. We've got Edward from Maple. Edward, what's going on?
Not much, Joe. How you doing?
Good, good. What do you think the UFC should do here?
Well, basically, I think you should do both A and B. They should let him start with suspension, but I think you should also fine him. I mean, if you think about it, the UFC is a company and has an image to uphold.
Yep.
To be honest with you, you know, PEDs have been run rampant in MMA from the days of Pride. I mean, if they let this guy release, he's just going to go to Japan anyway. I mean, you look at a guy like Alistair Overeem who, up until he fought Brett Rogers a few months ago, hadn't fought North America in about 3 years. And, you know, the consensus about why he hadn't fought for so long is because, yeah, you know, he was injured. He had those injuries, but a lot of thing of it was, you know, the guys on the message boards, you know, MMA junkie and whatnot. It's like, you know, well,
it was horse meat, wasn't it? It was a strict diet of horse meat, right?
Is he on it? Is he not on it? You know, and it was that whole stigma. So I think they should definitely look into finding him for sure. There's suspension either way. Another thing I like to bring up is that whether or not, like, what's this going to do for his career? You look at Sean Sherk when he got caught for PEDs in his first comeback fight back, you know, and he hasn't looked the same. He's looked a little lethargic in his last couple of fights, you know, when he first came back and he fought BJ Penn. He didn't look like he didn't have that kind of.
He fought Tyson Griffin and then Frankie Edgar after, yeah.
Yeah, he just kind of looked like slow and lethargic, and it's like, well, what's Sonnen going to do even if he takes a suspension and he comes back and he fights, you know, Vitor or Anderson Silva?
Oh, I think if he takes the full one-year suspension, the whole landscape of that middleweight division is going to change for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, Marquardt is back in the running. You know, Vitor Belfort for sure. Vitor Belfort is, you know, up there. Anderson Silva for sure. I mean, maybe GSP. You know,
you like the GSP moving up to middleweight, huh?
Drops the 170 title and he comes up to middleweight. You know, you never know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, but that's just what I think. I think it's going to happen.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Happen anyway.
Thanks for the call, Edward. I really appreciate it. Keep calling in. So basically, Edward is saying the UFC should also fine him. And Dana White's Dana White's comments earlier today during the UFC 119 pre-fight press conference, as well as talking to many other media, was that, you know, he's not really going to fine them because, you know, what do you want me to do to the human being? The guy is now going to lose his earnings and his living for one full year. And you know, the money that he made, which he already probably spent on trainers and stuff like that, you know, strength and conditioning and nutrition, is now gone. That's money that's being taxed. The government's going to tax him are going to fine him even more, and now you're asking me to fine him. So he says he's not going to do that either. Kind of agree with Edward, fine him a bit more, a little bit more punishment. But you have something else?
I don't even know if the UFC has the ability to fine him because, you know, they have that their contract, whatever. I don't know if it's written in the contract that they're able to fine him further because they're not technically, they're not the commission, right? Other leagues can fine their players because they're the commission as well as the promoter,
they
right?
can do it sort of behind the scenes, whereas, you know what, your next fight, make sure you come back and kick butt and have fight of the night, and then, you know what, you're not going to get fight of the night. They're going to give it to someone else. Little small things that they can do, you know, behind the scenes to say, you know what, you know, you should have got an extra $60,000, but here's your punishment.
That's true. And also, like you're saying, the whole middleweight division can change after a whole year. I think what could be unfortunate, if Chael Sonnen did take something that wasn't performance-enhancing and just kind of gave him a false positive, You know,
yeah,
guy,
let's first find out what exactly is going on here.
The guy spends a year on the shelf. If he comes back and has a lackluster performance, people are going to point to him being off the PEDs, but
yeah,
it's just, you're rusty,
have
right?
Such a difficult time rebuilding his image. Let's go to Jay and Barry. Jay, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Not much. What's up?
I just want to say I'm really biased in the whole situation because I just watched the Anderson Silva fight about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like a total Kale Sonnen fan after that fight because I never seen anyone do that to Silva before.
Yep.
And I was raving and raving about him. And then all of a sudden I listened to the show tonight and I heard about it for the first time. And I was like, oh, no, it ain't so.
Well, hold that emotion, Jay. I'll tell you, let me throw one more thing at you, because the first thing I said on MMA Connected this week was, what if Chael Sonnen actually won the belt and he was the UFC middleweight champion? Then how would you feel?
I was, you know, because I'm a fan, and like, even with what happened to Franco, I'm still a fan, and I wasn't a huge fan of his. It's just MMA in general, I'm a total fan of, because you see these guys coming in, they're putting it on the line. Like, look at Stefan Struve. I don't know how good he's going to be in 2 or 3 years, but when he comes out there, he's just out there to put it on the line. You never know if he's going to win or lose. And there's just so many fights that are coming nowadays with the fighters that are out there. They got all of this charisma, like Quentin Jackson. You know, he can talk a great talk, but he's not backing it up so much anymore. So what I really feel for Kale is he brought it. You know, he really put it on the line. He said he was going to hurt Anderson, and he hurt him. He let Anderson know that Anderson was in a fight.
So are you okay with Chael Sonnen taking performance-enhancing drugs?
I think that they need to sit him down. Obviously, they need to fine him. They need to, if they can't fine him, they need to sit him out a fight. They need to do something, but I don't think they need to set a precedent thing with him to say, okay, well, you can't do, because what they're going to do is they're going to ruin this guy's career. He's going to come back after, you know, 2 months, a year. And like Franco, he's just going to be unheard of. Like, Franco's really not doing too well since he's come back.
So he thinks Chael Sonnen deserves a timeout.
A little timeout, nothing serious. Like, he's a great fighter, and I just don't want to see all of the fans. Like, I'm still a fan of his either which way, and I'm going to support this guy because I know he said he was going to bring it, and he brought it.
Yeah, so, I definitely feel very, very, you know, I'm not condoning what he did. I want to know more. I want to know exactly why, what, all that information there. But this is a guy that turned himself into a bona fide star in the sport of mixed martial arts. He's at the absolute height and pinnacle of his career, and then gone. It is completely gone as of last Sunday.
Absolutely. Hey, I enjoy the show. I love listening to it every week. I hope you guys keep it up and get more time. Let's try to get an extra half hour on, because I just want to hear more about it. Like, a great fighter of mine has fallen out of the spotlight. I don't know what's happened to him, and I've Twittered Dana a couple times, but he hasn't gotten back to me. Maybe you guys know anything about Heath Herring.
Yeah, Heath Herring is doing moves. I see Heath a lot when I'm in Las Vegas. He's a great guy. He always actually pulls me aside if I don't catch him, be it at one of the poker tables he loves to frequent. But Heath Herring stops me all the time. He's doing movies. He's enjoying his career in the movies. I don't think he'll be back in a mixed martial arts bout for quite some time. He absolutely is enjoying life as is right now. Jay, thank you very much for the call. So, your thoughts.
on which?
Well, you talk about, you know, Jay saying they should fine him a bit more. They should fine him a little more. And again, it turns into that situation that Dana was saying that, you know, do you fine the guy more than what the money's already? He's going to lose a full career worth or a year in his career, which is obviously, if he's at the peak right now, he's gone. He's going to have to come back, build himself back up. It's just a strange situation. Actually, we'll take another call right now before we go to the break. Leo in Etobicoke. Leo, what's going on?
How are you this evening?
Good, good, good. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, like, I mean, I'm a big Anderson Silva fan, and when I saw Chael Sonnen beat him up, I'm like, wow, I was just, like, absolutely amazed. And my heart broke when I found out he got caught. Now, I mean, it could be just simple as he just took, like, an over-the-counter medication. You know what I mean?
Yep, we talked about that before, exactly. Could it take a supplement that all of a sudden made him pause? We don't know yet.
But the thing, though, is you can use that, because you can use ignorance as a defense. Because,
correct.
I mean, if guys are putting stuff in their body and they don't know what they're putting in, and then, oh, I didn't know, and it's just, you can't use that as an excuse. There's no excuse for it at all.
I think what people need to know is that the nutritional supplement market in the States is highly unregulated.
Oh, big time.
There's a really good documentary, A Bigger, Faster, Stronger, out there, and it kind of explains the kind of shady dealings that are going on, but it's very unregulated. So there can be chemicals and substances in these supplements that you don't even know are not even listed. So, I mean, sometimes ignorance can be used as a defense. From the news we hear, Chael Sonnen is going to appeal this. And from what Dana White is saying, there's a lot more to this story than we know. So, you know, until
that's
they
the
go
thing.
On
yeah,
this...
good point. Very good point. I forgot to. You know what, Leo? He brings up a good point because Dana was adamant today. There is much more to this story than it's out there right now.
I really hope so too, but at the same time, I mean, there's really not much they can do to him. I mean, how much more money are you going to take away from him? I mean, how much more are you going to suspend him? You know, the best thing they could do is banish him to the undercard. You know what I mean? And to make a stronger statement, I really do believe if he gets caught again, or any athlete gets caught a second time, ban them for life.
And that's a conversation we had off air, Leo. Hang on the line for a second, because I want to throw this out to you and the rest of the callers as well. Tyler and I were talking off air about, I'm a huge proponent of a zero tolerance policy. If you've ever been to my Facebook account, I have a zero tolerance policy. You insult a fighter, you insult me, you talk trash, you talk like a fool, you don't have an educated argument, you're a buffoon, I cut you out of my Facebook. I've got over 250 people waiting to get on my Facebook list. So I've got a zero tolerance policy, and I'm a firm believer of that type of mentality. So you come to the UFC or any organization in general, if you get caught with performance-enhancing drugs, I believe you should be released. Tyler's of the opinion that, you know what, he does it once, that's it. One more time, and you're done. So to me, it's like, you know, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me.
Exactly, and that's the way they should do it. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a legend of the sport, or it could be just some up-and-comer. You have to set that example for all the fighters. Put the fear of God into them.
There you go. Thank you very much for the call, Leo. I really appreciate it. Please call again. I'd like to get more thoughts out there. If you've got a thought on this whole Chael Sonnen or performance-enhancing drugs, what should the UFC do to its fighters and to its roster for guys that do get caught? Give us a call at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone.
Well, there's a couple of things that we're getting out of this conversation. Is one, the commission needs to be, the testing has to be better, and the other thing is the punishment has to be more severe. But what's also interesting from this story is the fallout. Now we have Belfort in for Sonnen for the title shot, and we have Marquardt fighting Okami for that number one contendership. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on those things.
Well, what did I say on Monday on MMA Connected? What's the first thing? I mean, people are kind of like, oh,
I was waiting for it.
Yeah. Well, you set me up for that. So if you missed it on Monday, when I was on Sportsnet and or even with some of the interviews here in The Fan, especially with the TV show, I specifically said, if Sonnen is suspended for 1 year, I believe Vitor Belfort should be pulled from the main event, from the rumored main event of UFC 122 versus Yushin Okami, and have Nate Marquardt step in there in the main event because he didn't have much of a fight with Husamar Pulharis. Immediately after we recorded that, the UFC released UFC 122 in Germany, main event, Vitor Belfort taking on Yushin Okami. And I sat back and said, well, so much for recording that thought. A day goes by. Next thing you know, Vitor Belfort reports emerge that Vitor Belfort is injured. He's been pulled out of the Yushin Okami fight, been replaced by Nate Marquardt. Not more than 12 hours later, Dana White and Sean Tompkins, who's training Vitor Belfort, said, nope, he is perfectly fine. He is not injured. He is stepping in there to take on Anderson Silva in the new year. And then I also got some information over from Ed Suarez, Anderson Silva's manager, who said, you know what? Doesn't matter. Whoever the UFC wants to put him against, we'll take that fight. So that's a lot more. We'll talk more about this coming up after the break, but I want to get your calls again. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
This is The Showdown with Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, specifically UFC 119 now on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Once again in studio, my co-host is Tyler the Intern Mason, who is salivating at the fact that we could talk some predictions here, because apparently he thinks his predictions are better than mine, which we've obviously proven in the past that you are wrong. And at the same time, you really want to talk about Dream. Why don't we go through the Dream show really, really quick, because we have about 3,000 UFC belts.
Do I have to bring up the Shine Fights tournament?
Ah, all right. You got me. Shine Fights. He picked, I picked Shannon Goody to win the lightweight Grand Prix, and you picked Drew Fickett, and doesn't matter who won. Drew Fickett won. All right, let's quickly go through this. Well, we're not going to go through the whole dream card, only because it's just too crazy. I mean, there's some great bouts there. I'll rhyme them off to you. You tell me who's going to win, and I'll agree or disagree. Gegard Mousasi versus Tatsuya Mizuno.
I think Musasi's got that one.
I agree. Hideo Takaro taking on Joachim Hansen.
I'm a big Takaro fan, so I'm going to go with him.
You are so wrong. Lion Takashi taking on Miata.
Takashi and Miata?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Miata.
Lion Takashi win because he beat my boy Antonio Carvalho. I'm not happy with that. Shinya Aoki taking on Marcus Aurelio.
It's going to be a tough one, but I think Aoki's going to get Aoki him with a leg lock or something.
Yeah. Sakuraba, Jason Miller.
Although I love Sakuraba, I got to go with Mayhem here.
I'll go with Jason Miller as well. Ishida taking on Nishura.
I think Ishida's too strong a wrestler.
Yeah, I agree. Omigawa taking on Cole Escovedo.
Omigawa, and we were kind of robbed of the Omigawa-Warren showdown there, but Omigawa's going to win this one.
Yeah, that's Joe Warren. Oh, anyways. Hiroyuki Takeya taking on Chase Beebe.
Takeya's putting way too many wins together. Guy's a beast at 145. Although Beebe's a solid fighter, I think Takeya's got it.
Takeya, I think, was going to win that. And, of course, the reinvented Minoa Man. Minoa taking on Satoshi Ishii.
I'm going to go with the Super Hulk champion. I'm going to go with Minoa Man.
I want to stay away from that boat.
Well, Ishii's taking the short notice.
So. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Minoa Man. You're absolutely right. Okay, let's take a look at UFC 119 going down in Indianapolis this weekend, live on pay-per-view. Yes, I am in town. I am not in Indianapolis, as you can probably hear right now. Of course, I'm taking Big John McCarthy's judging course as opposed to me not going down there. I'd love to have gone to Indianapolis, but unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. So I fill up my time another way. All right, main event. Actually, let's start off at the very bottom. We'll go real quick through this card. Mark Hunt taking on Sean McCorkle. McCorkle is undefeated. Mark Hunt, this is the obligatory UFC fight that they gave him after taking over his Pride contract, even though he fought for organizations like Dream afterwards, but I digress. Mark Hunt's got a 5-6 mixed martial arts record. Who wins this fight?
It was interesting. Both these guys were really heavy before this fight was announced, and they both shed a ton of weight. I haven't really seen a lot of McCorkle, but it seems like he wants to stand with Hunt, which is crazy. Hunt's got a great chin, so I'm going to go with Hunt.
I'll go with Mark Hunt as well. TJ Grant, Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia native, same place, residence born as Sidney Crosby, taking on Julio Paulino. Paulino, UFC debut, lost to Mike Pearson, unanimous judge's decision. TJ Grant's 2-2 in the UFC. He defeated Chonin, lost to Stun Gun. Then he beat Kevin Burns and then lost to Johnny Hendricks in a really good fight in Montreal. Who do you got in that?
I'm going with the Canadian, Grant. I mean, Hendricks and the Stun Gun are two studs at 170, so I'm going with TJ Grant. There's only two losses there, so.
We're not allowed to be biased in the studio, are we? Because if you would have said Julio Paulino, I'd have to ask you to leave the studio. No, I'm going to go with TJ Grant. Grant's got the skills. I think he's going to be very fine. But Paulino's tough, man. To go the distance with Mike Pierce, that's no joke. So TJ's going to have a good fight in his hand. Steve Lopez taking on Waylon Lowe. Waylon Lowe's only UFC fight was a loss to Melvin Guillard, who's actually on the main card. And Steve Lopez, he's a tough guy, but his only lone UFC fight was a loss to Jim Miller. Very tough fight to break down. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Steve Lopez. He lasted with Jim Miller longer than Lowe lasted with Gillard, and I think Miller's a much better fighter than Gillard, so I think Lopez is going to probably win this one.
And that's the problem with me. Well, I agree with you because that's how you break it down on paper, but Gray Maynard tells us all the time, paper doesn't fight paper, but still, I'm going to go with Steve Lopez. Waylon Lowe really hasn't shown me much. Even though he's got a pretty good record, he hasn't shown me much. All right, Pat, awesomely awesome Oddenwood. Yes, that is his nickname, awesomely awesome. He's 9-0-1, making his UFC debut, taking on the very experienced Thiago Tavares, who's defeated Manny Gamborian, and then he had a draw with Nick Lentz. What do you make of this fight?
That's my new favorite nickname.
I was just going to say, great nickname.
But Thiago Tavares, I think, has one of the highest upsides in lightweight. This guy has so much potential. He just never achieves that potential.
Stole the words right out of my mouth.
And I'm going to go with Thiago Tavares because I still believe that he can achieve that potential sometime in the UFC. So I think this guy has a big upside.
You know what? I want to go with Pat Onwin because Tavares has proved me wrong way too many times.
Because of awesomeness?
Awesomely awesome. I will pick Tiago Tavares. Fair enough. All right. You could catch these next two bouts on Rogers Sportsnet, the only place in Canada to watch it in HD. We will take a look at the meathead, Matt Mitrione. Only two fights in mixed martial arts. He's defeated Marcus Jones and Kimbo Slice. That was in Montreal. I was there for that fight there. He's taken on the Mexicutioner, who's also had two fights in the UFC, but he's had much more outside of the UFC. Joey Beltran defeated Hollis Gracie, and of course, a fellow Canadian, a good friend of our show here, the Thrashing Machine, Tim Haig. So Joey Beltran, Matt Mitrione, who do you got?
I'm not sold on Joey Beltran.
You call him Jelly Beltran?
Sorry.
I'm going to tell him that.
I'm going to say I'm not sold on Joey Beltran. Another great nickname in the Mexicutioner, but I think Mitrione's too big, too powerful in his hands. I think he's going to win this one.
Joey Beltran is a tough guy. He's got a tough chin. He does not give up. It's a very difficult guy to knock out, but Matt Mitrione continues to show improvement. I know one of his trainers very, very well in Duke Rufus, and some of the stuff I'm hearing from training and some of the stuff I'm hearing from training partners, Matt Mitrione is getting better and better and better, and I quizzed Dana White at the UFC 111 UFC 113 post-fight press conference in Montreal about Matt Mitrione, and it almost seemed like he didn't buy it just yet because he's only had two belts, and he's right. But I'm going to go with Matt Mitrione in this fight. I think he's got incredible upside, and he's really going to prove a lot of people. Provided these guys have an exciting fight, you know, I think they will. Another Canadian. My boy, El Dirte, Joe Dirksen, taking on CB Dolloway. Joe Dirksen defeated your boy, Tom Lawler, and one of our, I don't know if he's on your Facebook, Sean Marchant, in his recent fight. Sean Marchant was a local fight at CFC 5. Joe Dirksen won in 43 seconds. CB Dolloway, last two fights, has defeated Jay Silva, and then earlier this year, I think it was in Australia, he defeated Goran Relcic. Who do you got in this fight?
I think Dolloway is a superior wrestler, but I'm going to go with Dirksen because Dolloway has a habit of getting caught in submissions, and you know Dirksen is great on the ground there.
There's no proof that Joe Dirksen's good submission-wise. I know full hand, having known Joe for so many years, and if Richard Monkey Nanku and the boys over, like Justin Bruckman and Sean Pearson, are listening to this, we all know the hijinks back in the early days in the year 2001, 2002, when Joe Dirksen would come over. He fought Dennis Kang, actually, on one of my shows, and Joe Dirksen used to beat me up like you wouldn't believe wherever we were, whether it's all of us hanging out in the hotel room. But yeah, Joe Dirksen's submissions are ridiculous. I think you're right. I think eventually he's going to catch CB Dolloway if he doesn't get tagged. Problem is CB Dolloway is a much better wrestler than Joe Dirksen, so he may dictate where this fight's going to go. Again, I will go with Joe Dirksen. I'll agree with you on that. Let's go to the main card. Melvin Guillard taking on Jeremy Stevens. Let's be honest. Don't blink. Sit back. Grab your popcorn. Grab whatever drink you want. Grab your pizza. Sit back. Do not take your eyes away from the screen when these two guys, this is going to be a leather bomb fest. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Guillard. I think there's very few lightweights that can hang with him on the feet. He's super fast, super powerful. Stevens has the same power, but I don't think he has the speed, so I'm going to go with Guillard.
Jeremy Stevens by ground and pound. You have my prediction right there.
It'd be smart. I don't know if you can take him down, but it'd be smart.
Yeah, he's got to take him down. The speed that Guillard has, and watch the Dennis Cyber fight.
And just look at his record, too. I mean, the only time he loses is when it goes to the ground.
Take him down, and it's best served to do that. Don't stand and trade. Use your strength versus his weakness. Oh, wow, there's a concept in mixed martial arts. Oh, my goodness. All right, Sean Sherk, former UFC lightweight champion. It's his first fight in forever, as his last fight was against Frankie Edgar. I remember people were laughing. Oh, yeah, you lost to Frankie Edgar. Yes, folks, Frankie Edgar is now the UFC lightweight champion, so it wasn't that bad for Sean Sherk to kind of lose that fight via decision. He's taken on arguably the most underrated 155-pound fighters in the sport today, Evan Dunham, who's undefeated. His last three fights defeated Marcus Aurelio, who's now fighting in Japan. Efrain Escudero kicked him out of the organization, and Tyson Griffin. He controlled Tyson Griffin big time.
Which is something that Frankie Edgar couldn't do.
Exactly. And that was in Vancouver. Who do you got in this fight?
Don't let anyone tell you different. This is the best fight on this card, in my opinion. I'm going to go with Evan Dunham. Even though Sherk has only lost to champions in two different weight classes, I think Dunham's a stud. I mean, this guy is looking amazing every single time he's out there, so I'm going to go with Dunham.
I'm going to pick Dunham as well, but I made a point on MMA Connected. I said there won't be a finish in this fight. Agree or disagree?
You're probably right, but you know Dunham could control Sherk that the whole time like he did to Tyson Griffin, and if that happens, you know, a finish can come at any time.
Submission-wise?
Yeah, if it's going to finish, I'm going to say submission. Otherwise, it's going to decision.
Matt the Terror Serra returns, taking on Chris Lytle. This is a rematch from the Ultimate Fighter 4. You know, Matt Serra still looking okay. He lost to Hughes. Then he defeats Trigg real quick. Chris Lytle, two straight submission victories in his last two fights. The first versus Matt Brown. Or, the first was against Brian Foster. The second was versus Matt Brown. What do you make of this fight?
This is a hard one to call. I mean, both guys have improved a lot since their last fight. I'm a huge Chris Lytle fan, but just something's telling me I got to go with Serra on this. He's not going to get submitted on the ground by Lytle, and I think his hands are a lot better than the last time they fought. So I'm going to go with Matt Serra.
I'm going to go with Chris Lytle, who I believe is going to win this fight in the stand-up realm. Antonio Rogério Nogueira in the co-main event taking on Ryan Darth Bader. This is my potential fight of the night, along with, the, like you said, Dunham and Shirk. This is, we're calling it the John Bones Jones sweepstakes, which is sort of ironic because everyone's talking about, actually I predicted this on MMA, on Sportsnet Connected actually, that I want to see John Jones, after he defeated Matyuchenko, take on the winner of this fight here. But in essence, it's a step backwards because neither, you know, John Jones isn't on many people's top 10 lists, whereas these two guys are. Who wins this fight?
Oh, I think the reason that John Jones isn't on anyone's top 10 list is because of that disqualification loss, which I think is keeping him off there. I've always wanted to see Ryan Bader and John Jones fight each other. I think Bader's just too young, too strong a wrestler, too heavy in his hands. I think he's going to be able to tag Nogueira eventually, and I think he's going to win this.
Absolutely. I think Bader's going to win this fight here. Now we go to the main event. Heavyweight bout between Frank Mir, who wants to go down to light heavyweight. He keeps talking about that, but according to Dana White, he says, it's not going to happen because Frank Mir did a cut a while back, and it was pretty miserable for him. He's taking on Mirko Krokop Filipovic. You have a former UFC heavyweight champion, two-time UFC heavyweight champion, taking on the 2006 Pride Grand Prix champion in Mirko Filipovic. Can Mirko win this fight and send Frank Mir to light heavyweight, or is Frank Mir going to send Mirko Krokop potentially into retirement?
Well, it's interesting you bring up Frank Mir's weight because it's been going up and down all over the place. He supposedly he's coming a lot lighter for this fight. He's supposed to be a little bit faster, but I think eventually he's going to be able to get Mirko to the ground. And from what we saw in the Pat Barry fight, Mirko's not ready for Frank Mir's ground game, so I'm going to go with Mir.
So what you're saying is Frank Mir has an edge on the ground in this fight?
Yeah, a little bit of an edge.
I'm going to also go with Frank Mir in this fight unless he gets overly cocky and decides to stand and trade, which he might with Krokop.
Well, and it might be not as clear-cut as we think. I mean, if he fakes a shot like he did on Congo and tags him with a left, anything can happen, right?
Explain your reaction. I want you to look into the future, your crystal ball, if Krokop lands a left high kick on Frank Mir's head and knocks him out.
I would probably smile because...
That's it?
I've been waiting for Krokop to land his left high kick in the UFC ever since he came over. I've told all my friends, I'm like, this guy has got killer high kicks. And he hasn't really landed any high kicks in the UFC. So I think the UFC fan out there needs to see how killer his left high kick can be.
People want to follow you on Twitter and on Facebook. What do they got to do?
Twitter at Tyler Mason and Facebook at King Mason.
If you want to follow me, make sure you go to twitter.com/showdownjoe. On Facebook, it's Showdown Joe Ferraro. Like I said, this weekend, I'm heading over to take Big John McCarthy's judging course. I want to add that one to my resume along with the referee course. Don't forget to visit all kinds of information on showdown.ca, as well as Sportsnet and Fan 590. You can check my columns and blogs there. Don't forget to tune into MMA Connected every single week on Sportsnet, as well as the Showdown right here every Thursday. You've been listening to the Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590.